1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Siobhan Walsh. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. And you were a bit upset about this sheriff's letter you got, not because of the amount, which we'll talk about, but also the day, the anniversary that it arrived on.
Yes, Joe, yes. It arrived on the anniversary of the Buncrana tragedy on the 20th of... David, obviously, is bad leading up to the anniversary, and quite obviously on the anniversary, it's a very bad time for
him.
Okay,
and just, you dropped out there for a sec, just to explain to people what Siobhan was saying and what she said in her email to us, is that her son David, who owns this cafe, it's called Cafe David, he is the man proclaimed as a hero, and that horrific Buncrana tragedy when he swam in and rescued the baby from the car that slipped off the pier, and tragically five people died, and that was on March 20th, 2016. And okay, so you mentioned there that David is upset around the time of the anniversary.
Yes.
Brings back such horror. I'm sure the memories don't leave him that often, by the way, given the nature of what he had to do. So anyway, what arrived on the anniversary?
Okay, now what arrived in was the court order from the sheriff's office in Letterkenny here, which stated that if he didn't reply with full payment of $1,500 within 4 days, then the sheriff's office was going to call to confiscate goods to the value of. So I was quite amazed at this, because we had been in contact with the IMRO, because I helped David with his accounts.
The music rights, yeah.
And, you know, the tariff for a small cafe like this is €75.63 per annum.
Okay.
And where they got the tariff of $1,500, we are aghast, okay?
Yeah.
So I'd already sent them an email stating this and telling them that that this bill would be paid with the appropriate tariff, and I attached the appropriate tariff to it, and said that we'd no problem paying it, and we would pay it whenever David was reconciling his accounts at the end of this month, the 30th of March. However, that was sent in to them at the beginning of March, the email, and we heard nothing since, until we got this on the anniversary of the deaths.
The sheriff's letter saying...
Yes, the sheriff's letter saying...
And what would €1,500 sink the cafe? I know it's only a small cafe, and it's...
What, of course, Joe.
You'd have to shut down if you had to pay that.
It would cause cash flow problems. And it's unnecessary.
And if you pay it, it's an ongoing bill. Now, what is David in? I know the cafe was busy when he contacted us. Is David in the cafe? Is he there?
He is. He's here, Joe. Okay. Yes, he is.
David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Joe. Yeah.
How are you keeping? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad.
I know it's a difficult time. David. Did you sign up to IMRO, the Irish Music Rights Organisation, when you opened the cafe? Do you remember?
Yeah, I can remember. It was actually my first day of trading, Joe. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine what it was like when the first month I opened, it was crazy. You know, it was all hands on deck. The place was packed. And I can actually remember the guy coming in, and I did sign a form, but... obviously, because every small business that has music or whatever has to sign up to that. But I was signing up. I thought I was signing up to the tariff that I should be paying, which is 75 per annum. And I ended up getting charged extortionate amount over that I shouldn't be paying. Like, you know.
What would 75 per year give you? It will allow you to play the radio, is it?
Yeah, I just play the local radio station and play a couple of things off the USB stick. That's it. Like, you know, it's not a venue, it's a cafe coffee shop, full stop.
So what do you think they're charging you for, David?
I'm not sure. They obviously got me mixed up maybe with, there's a couple of bars and nightclubs around me, maybe they got me mixed up with that show.
And how many covers do you have? How many people can be seated in your cafe?
I can seat about 45 people.
So it's relatively small.
Oh yeah, it is small. If the way it's laid out, Joe, it's very small. You know, you're you're squeezing people on at that, like, you know.
And David, when you mentioned it was because it was the end of 2016 that you opened, when you say that you were busy, was it because people were supporting you in Letterkenny because of what you did?
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it was. It was
because
of who I was and because I opened this, local people obviously came to support me. And, you know, because there's a lot of great people around, you know, the Letterkenny border area, and they all came in to support me, to meet me as well, like, you know. So
did he? Okay.
That's why I was so busy. I wish it was like that now.
And so, would the €1,500? Well, it would be an ongoing payment, wouldn't it? Would the €1,500 sink you?
I wouldn't. Yeah, especially this time of year, Joe. I would have serious cash problems going forward. Okay. I wouldn't be able to. I couldn't whip that amount of money. I don't have that money, like, to be thrown into this, like, you know. To be honest, you know, I've people to pay, bills to pay. It's no longer my paperwork, like, you know. So I couldn't afford to pay that.
So bizarrely, the goodwill of the Buncrana people and everyone in the county, but Buncrana, Letterkenny people, over what you did, risking your own life, the goodwill that helped you get going, but now you're going to be shut down. Because you play Highland Radio.
Yes, exactly, Joe, you know.
Siobhan, have you been talking? By the way, David, have you £1,500 worth of goods in the cafe to seize?
Well, the goods that I have, they're leased. They're in my lease agreement. So if they were to come under the goods, they're not actually my goods. Like, you know, that it's included in all my rent, you know, so.
Okay, Siobhan, what communication, given that you do the accounts for David, your son, what communication have you've obviously Googled him, Rowan, to try to contact him.
I did.
What do you think he's being charged for?
It looks like he's been charged for a nightclub venue.
Okay.
Nightclub venue. I mean, this guy, he closes every day at 5:30, Joe.
Right. It's not a nightclub.
You know, it's a wee bit extreme. And that's what the problem is. It's the wrong tariff has been attached to the business.
Okay, and David, when you were signing, I know you were, it was at your busy time, but when you were signing, did you have any conversation with the inspector from Imro?
I can't even remember, in all honesty, Joe, it was that long ago. Yeah. There's been a lot of things happened in here since then, but I can vaguely remember, but I just, I don't know, I obviously signed something that I shouldn't have signed, but he was in the place, so he seen it was just a small coffee shop. Like,
and you haven't changed it since, or expanded, or
no, it's never changed. It's been like that since then.
Okay, is that your trade, David? Were you in catering or hospitality before that?
Yeah. Well, I dabbled in hospitality.
Yeah.
Worked in different things over the years, but this is my first venture. I've been myself, obviously, like, you know. So yeah, this is my baby. The cafe,
okay,
like, you know.
Okay. And as your mother said at the start there, it's only a coincidence, nothing else but to be said about it, but that the sheriff's letter, or the letter threatening the sheriff, arrived to you on the anniversary, the third anniversary of the tragedy. How have you been since, generally, David? Because you're the one that went out to that car as it unfortunately sank. You're the one who grabbed the child and swam back in. You were the main witness.
Yeah, I was, well, obviously, opening my business has been a huge help. I was, you know, I didn't think I would ever be normal again, to be honest. But when opening the business and, you know, just putting everything into this has really helped me. And obviously, I still have bad days, but I've improved something dramatically. You know, the first year and a half after it was tough, you know, with nightmares and just different things going on. But me, obviously, my family and been massive for me, and friends as well. So I'm getting there. You know, obviously now this time of year, month's always a bad month for me because of the anniversary, and you have that just in the back of your head, and it just brings it. It's still so fresh, and when you come around that 20th of March, it's just a bad time for me. But then I'll come back out of it now soon, and you know, you'll just have the odd bad day here and there. But I'm fine generally, Joe. You know, I'm all good.
Okay. And the child you saved now is nearly 3.5 at this stage.
Yeah, it should be 4 now, Rena, I'm on the first week of November, so time's flying. It still feels like yesterday, but...
Have you seen her? Have you seen the baby you rescued since?
No, I used to see the baby, but it's just became kind of an arrangement now with the mother I'll see the baby when she decides to grow older.
Yeah,
I'm happy enough with that as well.
What a burden everyone has to bear, unfortunately, with five people dying,
of course,
including Renock's dad, granny, and siblings. Okay, David, we'll get on to Aimro and see. By the way, I asked you the question earlier. When they come into the cafe, will they end up taking chairs and tables to get their 1,500 quid?
No, this is.
Have you an expensive? Do you own the coffee machine, for example?
No, the coffee machine's leased. Okay. You know, so I don't know what I've never experienced anything like this here. So I keep up. I'm on top of all my bills, like, you know.
Yeah.
So I've never experienced anything like this before. Like, so it's kind of like the fraudulently.
They're a very good organisation, very efficient and professional. They say, this is what you signed up to. But anyway, let's hope we will be sorted out.
Brilliant.
By the way, Dav, not that it should have any bearing. Do you think when the inspector arrived in your cafe, because you were a national figure at that stage, because of your bravery, do you think he knew who you were?
I would say he definitely knew who I was. The reason I would say that is because I met the gentleman before.
Okay.
So I remember meeting him before, actually, in another business when he was in just doing his job.
So he would have known
who I was.
Okay. Let me bring in Dan Fitzgerald in Cork, 51551. Dan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're involved. You're a member of IMRO and you stood for election.
I went up for election. I didn't quite get there. Maybe I will next time.
And Dan, would you just explain to our listeners, what does IMRO do? What's the job of IMRO?
It's Irish Music Rights Organisation. Mm-hmm. It's a society of members. And they collect royalties for people that write songs, essentially. We collect royalties for people that write songs, our own songs.
And they legally can put a levy on a cafe, a restaurant, anywhere that music is played publicly, whoever's playing that radio or music publicly.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, and then they divide it up at the end of the year between the various artists. They work
pro-rat.
Okay.
Pro-rat.
What is the normal fee, do you know, Dan? Is it 500 quid a year?
It depends on the size of the place and the number of people and the number of gigs, perhaps. But they... basically, there seems to be a fundamental error here. The two fees spoken of are typical of two different categories. One is for the playback of, playback of electronic. Okay. Electronic playback of music or TV or USBs or iPods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other fee, the 1500 type of level, is typical of a small music venue where... live music is played and thus the songs are being represented and people could be singing their own songs. So what happens is the fee gets paid and an awful lot of that money goes back to the actual songwriters playing in that venue.
Of course, yeah, rightly so. But, Siobhan...
Yes?
You don't break into song, do you, in the cafe?
Not at all, Joe.
There's no performers in the cafe.
Joe, it's a cafe. Do you know what he has? He has Northern Words, which is a literary group.
Okay.
And they come into the cafe, and they certainly don't sing.
Okay.
And we have art exhibitions. And the art exhibitions, there is no music on whenever the art exhibitions are there, because people like to converse.
So that's a cultural...
Yes, it's a cultural venue.
Yeah.
But there's no music, Joe.
Okay. So Dan, what do you think should happen, Dan?
Well, I think somebody needs to speak with the collection agent. Some of these people are IMRO employees and some are freelancers.
Okay, but do you think people might not understand, Dan, is that IMRO have a legal right to collect this money, isn't that correct?
Well, not in the wrong category. I mean,
but it's not. If you're playing music, you are legally obliged to pay IMRO some amount.
Yes,
that's right. So it isn't enforceable.
Yes, it's the Irish Music Rights Organisation, so we're the people that exercise that right. But it's a small amount for the playback of electronic music. and in my opinion, an absurdly high amount for the performance. I think that discourages small venues to some extent. But it is a right, and it's a right across all the countries of Europe, certainly.
And it is enforceable. Let me bring in Vincent. 51551 is the text number. Vincent Jennings of CSNA, the Convenience Stores and News Agents Association. What's your connection with Imro, Vincent?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, thanks very much. No, the point that I'd made, and thank you for coming, the point that I'd made was that your customer who is playing radio, a radio station, mm-hmm. that particular radio station, whether it's Highland Radio or RTE, they are paying a substantial royalty based upon the accredited number of listeners that there are. And yet at the same time, that same listener is being charged via Imro when they're sitting in a cafe. Now, you can't be in two places at the one time.
Okay.
And they're already paying for that. But, I mean, Imro and PPI were already the subject of a European Court of Justice.
What's PPI?
Tell
the PPI is what?
The PPI
in this case.
Is the phonographic performers.
Oh, okay.
It's the copyright owners of the music.
Okay.
So you've got the musicians as Imro and the copyright owners. So you're paying not on once, but twice.
The writers in Imro.
Music. But I mean, if it's through a radio station, that radio station that's being played in the shop or in the shoe shop, which in Grafton Street was found to be quite correct in not paying, and many people have an absolute right not to pay based upon this European Court of Justice. But PPI and Imro are not actually implementing that.
So are you saying if David turns around and says, I'm not paying...
I think we're conflating things here, Joe.
Daniel.
The radio station pays a direct royalty to the writer of the song.
I know the radio station, every music programme here in RTE has to, well, it's done electronically now, but you have to inform Imro of who you played, when you played them, and your listenership or whatever. And there is a fee at the base of that. But Dan, that's Vincent's point, that the radio station is paying to play the music and you and Imro want people to pay to listen to the music.
Yeah, well, if the music is maybe played off an iPod or a phone, well, then obviously it's not being recorded through the radio station thing. So basically, the €75 fee, which is small, is for all electronic playback.
All okay. So
Here is that it's just a category. The Imro collector in question has categorized the place as a venue. It's not a venue. It's a mistake. It's blatant. The levels of money and the size of the place are unmistakable. A small venue. Yeah.
Vincent, are your news agents and convenience stores, which does have music, a lot of them do have music, have any of them refused to pay Imro?
Yes.
And what has happened?
Well, I mean, from an ECJ, it depends very much whether or not they're playing it by way of that they've got a booster system within their store. In that instance, clearly, they are making use of the music for what might well be considered to be that an ancillary benefit comes from it. But if they've just got a transistor radio in behind the counter, that's a completely different matter. It can't be heard throughout the store, and it's not being used to create an ambience or otherwise within the store. And we would say to those people, under no circumstances should you.
And have they been threatened with the sheriff?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
And you sound
it's a very different issue.
Yeah, and what do you advise?
It's a very different issue. I mean, you're talking whether it's a 2-yard broadcast or a store wide broadcast there in some European law.
It's not a different issue when you issue invoices out to people. You don't see that issue.
Well, the ratio of the tariff for live music versus recorded music is 20-1. It's 1,500 versus €75. It's a very different issue. You've got your own issue there, which is fine. I'm not aware of that European court thing, but it is when music is played, it can be heard by everybody in the play. Mm. The people that created it need to be paid. You know?
Okay,
if it's a transistor, that's fine. But you know, if it's broadcast throughout the store, surely the fee should be paid. And I think that's a separate issue. It's clouding this kind of ridiculous one of this cafe being approached for 1,500 aggressively, it seems.
David, do you have what sound system do you have in your cafe?
Yeah, I just have an old, it's an old Philips radio.
Okay, so you're not wired up into speakers in the ceiling or on the wall or anything?
No, I do, in fairness now, I do have a speaker at the top of the cafe and a speaker at the bottom.
But is the unit a domestic unit, one you'd see in a house?
Yes, that's what it is, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Vincent, you mentioned...
Well, that wouldn't make any difference in terms of the 75 euros.
Okay,
you know,
it should be, but you're you're adamant, Dan, as someone who knows the ins and outs of IMRO, it should be 75 quid from what David is describing.
Yes, if it's not a live venue, I mean,
it's not.
Something about poetry there might be copyright on that, but that's something I wouldn't be aware of. But there's no way. If it's like 1500 is a, you know, that fee doesn't.
Yeah, but IMRO doesn't collect money for Paul and me and Theo Dorgan, doesn't collect money for poets.
I don't think so. No, I never.
Vincent, you mentioned the case in Milan.
Yeah.
A dentist. What was it? Just briefly
The copyright people brought the case all the way to the European Court of Justice, and the dentist had a radio playing in his surgery, and he was able to prove to the court's satisfaction that he wasn't doing it for profit, that there was no benefit that accrued to his business from him playing it. And they were told, the copyright owners were told, under no circumstances should he be attempting to count off him or any like-type business.
Okay.
And so a store in Grafton Street, using that very argument, was successful against IMRO from PPI from collecting, I think it was about 2,500 euro. And the judge quite clearly said, yes, you've got a case here, and you should never have been billed for it or issued with threatening letters.
They're not threatening letters. They're legal letters. That's fine.
Not knowing the details of either case, I can say right away, like, a dentist is usually two people in a room, and the definition of broadcast is cast broadly, as in more than six people.
Oh, more than six, okay.
Six, yeah. It's reasonable enough.
Okay.
Like, we don't, and it's not the copyright people. It's a society, a non-profit, representing the writers.
Okay. And they're under pressure enough with Spotify.
Sorry, Joe, just for that.
Vincent,
a taxi driver has an obligation for, according to PPI and IMRO.
Are you serious?
Okay, well, we're getting technical now, and it really has nothing to do
with it. We are getting technical, yes.
Are you saying if a taxi driver has a radio on, he should be paying money to IMRO?
Yeah, yes, they're charging crematoria too, and hospitals, churches. But they're technical matters, and they're just exercising their rights.
There's less than six people, isn't it?
In a taxi? Yes, normally.
Yes, yeah. So I don't know the technicalities of taxis. I'm just telling you the definition of broadcast.
And they're trying to get money. They believe they are entitled to levy crematoria.
Yeah, everywhere really, where there's more than six people, it's simple as that. You know,
it's fascinating stuff. The taxis, the living and the dying.
Yeah, I mean, you know. The matter hospital, I'm sure, is paying. You know.
But the people understand it. Okay, we'll try.
The difference is, if it's a live venue, it's more than 20 times the electronic.
Which you think is unfair, Dan?
I personally do.
The ratio is unfair.
There's a logic
because that does not encourage live performers.
It discourages small places to put on live music.
Okay.
It's much cheaper to put on a disco.
No. Okay, Barry Scannell is Director of Legal Affairs with IMRO. Barry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Have you been listening to Vincent Jennings and to David?
I've caught the start. I missed some of what Vincent said towards the beginning, but I caught the end of it.
And a 500 a year fee, what would that be for? What type of premises would that be?
Well, there's a lot of different tariffs, Joe, and the tariffs range from everything to a cafe to a large nightclub.
David has a cafe.
Obviously for data protection reasons, Joe, I can't really talk about David's account unless David was happy for me to do it. So, but what I can say is that for a small cafe with, say, 30 seats, the charge between IMRO and PPI would be about 350 a year.
Well, 350 a year?
Yeah.
That's very dear.
Jesus.
Well, Joe, to be honest with you,
given the margins, given the extra tax now, the 13% is back up to. Anyway.
Yeah, and do you know what, Joe? A lot of IMRO's members who are musicians are subject to all of that as well. Mm. So, I mean, when, you know, But every day IMRO has to deal with licensees around the country. It's not just people in Dublin, and you know, we're very much at the coalface as well. You know, when pubs are dealing with issues and local venues in pubs around the country. I'm from County Kerry myself. I know fine well the difficulties local businesses are facing. But the thing to consider is that if the local businesses are doing well, IMRO does well, and IMRO's members, more importantly, the musicians, do well. And if local businesses aren't doing well, then the musicians aren't doing well either. So, you know, it can some people can see it as looking adversarial at times, because of course nobody likes paying bills. Mm. But do you know what? We're actually all in the same boat, because we're all involved in the same industry. We're all involved in the hospitality industry. Yeah. And you have to consider as well, Joe, €350, the commercial benefits that come along with music. Mm. Like, would you, if there wasn't any commercial benefit, Joe, to playing music, why would any place have music on at all?
Barry, is there any tariff of €75?
There are, yeah. A lot of hairdressers would be the small premises tariff, and they would be a small premises for something like something like that, and if they're only playing background music through something like a television, say, the tariff for that for IMRO would be about €70. But to bear in mind as well is that IMRO, since the 1st of January 2016, are acting as agent for PPI. Now, the best way I can describe it, because copyright law is very complicated, and from listening to some of the guests you've had on, I appreciate that it is confusing and it can be difficult to understand, and there has been some, I suppose, incorrect understandings said on the show. But for example, to my knowledge, we don't license crematoria, and if we do, they all pay, because I've never come across any in the legal department. Okay. But no, I don't think they do. And IMRO wouldn't license creches and things like that. But just going back to PPI, the way I would describe it is, when you go into a bookshop and you buy a book, let's say you pay €20 for the book, the author of the book gets a cut out of that, and the publisher of the book gets a cut out of that. Mm-hmm. Because there's
and the book and the bookstore.
Exactly.
And the printer.
Exactly.
And
the, the way it works similarly with music copyright. So effectively, when music is played in public, the author of the music, who IMRO represents, gets a cut out of that. Yeah. And then PPI would essentially represent the record labels, and the record labels would get a cut out of that as well. Now, I understand that somebody said that, you know, if radio stations are paying for their license or RTE, and so as you find well know yourself, you're not paying for the same copyright, just different types of copyright. So, for example, a radio station paying a license to IMRO would be paying for a license for broadcasting, the right to broadcast, whereas a restaurant or a nightclub would be paying for the right to make music available to the public.
What's the annual income of IMRO?
It's about, I don't know off the top of my head, but I'll tell you what, if you go onto IMRO's website,
IMRO publishes
its annual accounts. So
well, I thought you might know. Is it in the hundreds? Is it in the hundreds? Dan?
Oh, no, it's not in the hundreds of millions, but, IMRO internationally would be one of the most efficient small music collecting societies internationally.
But is it a private company?
IMRO is a company limited by guarantee. So basically, IMRO is basically owned by its members, and IMRO's members are all songwriters.
Yeah, and really appreciated, and creativity has is priceless. Dan, is that Dan? Yes.
Our income last year, I think, was 40 million. I think that was the overall turnover.
Okay. And is there any, going back to that, I know you don't want to go into it.
Sorry, Joe, could I just ask Barry a question?
Dan, yes, go on.
Does the 1500, Barry, how are you?
Hiya.
The crematorium, I'm not sure about that, but what I am sure about is hospices. I've seen the PPI and IMRO stickers in the hospice, and I'd be kind of amazed about it. But the logic applies if there's more than six people. But let's not get bogged down with these things.
Barry,
I'm just, Barry, could I focus on the issue at hand here, which is that the guy who was paying 75 and then he's been asked for 1500. Does that suggest to you, as it does to me, that the place has been miscategorized as a live venue?
See, Actually, Joe, I think it's a bit unfair that I'm being asked this question because I'm being asked to address a specific case, and if I did talk about it on national radio, I'd have the Data Protection Commissioner on to me
I heard Helen Dixon recently. She's not that strict. She's very, very, very intelligent and open.
I'm more than satisfied that everything has been dealt with properly. And if your original guest does have an issue, as with any IMRO licensee, if they ever have an issue, and I'm sure people were listening who have dealt with me before and my staff and other people in IMRO will appreciate that. If there ever is an issue, all you have to do is phone in, because from my point of view, dealing with the legal cases, the most significant issue really that people have is not dealing with the issue. If you don't engage with IMRO for years... It can be a problem, but if you call IMRO, like, we're more than happy to help people out, because all in the same boat, we're all in the same industry.
I hear what you're saying, but Barry, is there a procedure where a cafe can say, listen, I'm only starting, I didn't fully understand the ins and outs of it, I haven't, as you heard earlier, for other humanitarian reasons, the cafe started very well, but now it's kind of coasting at this stage, and he said that the 1500 will sink him. Sink David Walsh and his mother, who does the accounts, agree.
Well, Joe,
is there any procedure of appealing or where?
Well, Joe, do you know what I can say without breaching any confidentiality? I can go through the legal procedure with you very briefly. And first of all, I would say is that there's a very long process in IMRO of trying to engage with licensees and requesting payment. And getting it to the legal stage is the very, very last resort. So when it does get to my office, what originally goes out is a 7-day letter informing of that, and then it goes through a legal process. And there's about six or seven letters sent before it would even ever get to the sheriff. And even when it gets to the sheriff, just today I've written to a sheriff in another matter requesting the documents back from the sheriff because we were able to resolve it. Like, we're always looking to resolve it, even when it gets to the
sheriff.
And
on an average week, how many would you be referring?
I can't really go into that, Joe, but...
It sounds like there's a lot.
People... no, not really, to be honest. And, like... The legal aspect of IMRO really is just another way of facilitating...
I want to bring Connor in and offly. Connor, your point, please.
Yes, hi, Joe. My point is that I would like to know what percentage of the fees collected by IMRO actually go directly to the artist or the composer. Because I know some people in the business who claim to get very little back from IMRO.
Well... No, that's a little bit outside of my expertise. That's the distribution
department. I think it's about 70-80%.
But what I would say is that, let's say if the turnover was 40 million, I think the expenses are about 5 million. IMRO is a non-for-profit organisation. So about 15%, about 85% will go to the members themselves, and that's directly. IMRO doesn't make a profit. And IMRO, there's a European directive, which basically deals with organisations like IMRO all around the world. And it's basically one of the central focuses of that directive is transparency. And one of the main parts of my job and one of the main parts of the senior management of IMRO's job is ensuring transparency at all times in our dealings with licensees, dealings with the controller of patents and the filings were meant to make pursuant to the European directive. So if anybody is curious about IMRO's income and the percentages that go to IMRO's members and so on, everything is on our website.
Are your accounts published?
Yes, our accounts are published on IMRO's website. Because every year, IMRO has to make what's called a transparency report.
It's way over time. David, I'm not inferring that Barry is saying this, but Barry says we send letters, we try and communicate. Could the letters have gone astray or?
I probably get the letters, Joe, and I probably should have dealt with them quicker. The fee, in my opinion, is still extortionate.
It's a mistaken fee, I can guarantee you. I mean, not speaking
specifically about any place.
Barry is saying it isn't a mistake under any circumstances. Not a mistake. Okay.
I don't think he said
David, can I talk about, would you be happy for me to talk about your tariffs? Like, first of all, I just say I'm more than happy to discuss this with you off air if you prefer that. But there's just some things being said here that aren't correct. And if you'd like to discuss that off air, I'd be more than happy to do it. Or if you'd like to discuss it now, whichever you prefer.
I just want to get this started. As you know, I can't afford to pay 1,500, but obviously I want to work with you and get this thing resolved.
And Joe, just so you're aware, and just so your listeners are aware, the position David's in, if anybody who's a licensee of MRO ever does find themselves in the position that David finds himself in, my strongest advice would be just give us a call.
Give us a call, because there really isn't any need
to ring Lifeline to sort it out, because had I got this phone call, it would have been sorted out.
Well, I think people have learned a lot as well, Barry, and it was great to hear your Kerry tones as well, your dulcet Kerry tones.
I've been outside Kerry longer than I've been in it, unfortunately. I've lost it a bit.
And likewise, Siobhan Walsh and David Walsh. And as anyone who listens to Liveline knows, small business have a friend in this programme because they are so put upon, be it a small cafe or a small garage. I'm not saying by you, but by so many levies and taxes. Dan Fitzgerald, thanks also. And Connor Five and Siobhan Walsh. David, you look after yourself. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And no, we will not be having Kai Poo finger food next week in the Titanic Hotel or anything like it. Aidan McGovern, Aidan, back to IMRO and the good work that IMRO does. Go ahead, Aidan.
Hi, Joe. First of all, I've just lost my appetite.
Yeah, same here. No, I hope for food, not for life.
Not for life, just for food.
Okay.
Joe, just to say that, you know, I work at the Academy of Sound in Dublin. We deal with young musicians and writers and producers and all of that. And IMRO is a not-for-profit organisation. They are there to protect the rights of the songwriters and performers.
Yeah.
And it's not some kind of random system, you know. It's very carefully thought out. There are algorithms calculating the number of the footfall, the number of listeners. So, for example, If a songwriter's song is played on BBC Radio 1 to 4 million people, they might get £20. If it's played on a small radio station to 400 people, they might get 20 cents.
20 cents,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's at a time when musicians have been really hit by illegal downloading of music.
Okay. But
an organisation like, and there are organisations like that in every other European territory that do the same work. It's totally transparent and above board.
Okay, let me bring in Mick Moriarty, the Baldy Barber, he's known as in Cork, I'm told, in Blackpool. Mick, good afternoon. Do you pay IMRO for your barbers?
Yes, Joe, all of my life since the first day that he came out. And when IMRO started the first day, it was retired guards who went around enforcing IMRO. It was mostly retired guards, so we all knew the guards and we were half afraid of them, really. That was my case in Cork, anyway. But
and how much do you pay in your little barber shop?
€184.23.
€185, basically, a year.
Exactly.
What do you play in your barber
shop? Just the radio. Joe Duffy, 96 FM, Red FM, Mr. Ivan Yates, that's all I play in the story.
Okay.
You know, and it's a disgrace.
Why do you say that?
Well, we have a small barbershop, Joe, and I tell you something. Like, I mean, I know a lot of barbershops because 18 years ago there was 15 barbershops in Cork City. There's now about 135, and a lot of them are not registered with IMRO, and IMRO don't do their job. I was president of the Federation one time, and they asked me, could I give them a list of all the barbershops in Cork? And I said, how much will you pay me?
Yeah.
Well, they said, no, we pay nothing. Well, I said, I'm not a hanging out person, and they said, if you want to do your job, do it properly, I said, in the story.
And what do you think IMRO should do about David Walsh?
He said
he'd go out of business if he has to pay £1,500.
Of course he would. It's very, very sad for the poor man. On a different subject, I was watching the traffic warden outside my shop for 100 yards. He spent 25 minutes outside my place. He gave one person a ticket. And he hung around waiting. And I had customers who drove back.
Ah, okay. I know the pressures again. The pressures on small business. I'm over time, Mick Moriarty. Good to hear from you again, Aidan McGovern. Thanks, Sheila Ni Wheel on sound. Good morning, good Laura Lee Davis, the BCO, Richard Byrne, researcher, David O'Sullivan, produced, Angus McNally, the series producer, and Ray Darcy is next.